Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign. So I haven't heard anything back yet today. I don't expect to. When will be too early to call back?
You should drink and then call them at about 1.
Okay. Just be like real sad and needy.
No, I would just tell them about how you don't need them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say, for all I care, I could walk over there and burn this place down.
Cole's not even my real name.
Oh, which should have turned up when you called my references.
I'm Bob Plant.
Robert Plant.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So I called all the people that I listed as references just to ask, like, hey, is it okay if I give this guy your phone number? You know, this perfectly nice gentleman who was gracious enough to show me this place, and I really hope that I get to live in this apartment because it's very nice. Every single one of them, including my current landlord, made the same joke,
which was,
so do you want me to lie to him for you?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, for the first two, it was kind of funny because, you know, like, yeah, if you can find a lie that's better than the truth, go ahead. But then, like, by the third and then sealed with the fourth one, kind of became, you know, just a little bit, are people, like, lying so that I don't have to face some kind of truth about me? Like, is there something off putting? Like, oh, man, I don't want to ask this question even. Like, what are you protecting me from?
Yourself.
What's the truth here? I don't know.
I'm sorry, Cole. There's an ad in Japanese playing really loudly in my ears right now.
Chris, I thought that they were controlling that with medication.
There's at least 3 ads. No, there's a State Farm ad in Japanese.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just a bear eating salmon.
Delicious. Because if there's one thing that the bear population needs to address, it's their, you know, glaring omega-3 problem.
I guess.
Got too much of it.
It just keeps playing over and over again. I'm not even going to be able. Damn you, HuffPost.
It's ridiculous. And like, so as a programming note, I think we got away from kind of transcribing certain stuff away, you know, from these articles, you know, in order to represent them on the show, because most of the time you would say a thing like after having distilled it. And then I would ask, so what about blank? And then you would, in a very exasperated kind of fashion, go back in and say, like, I don't know, I guess I'll look. Didn't expect you to want to know this. Which, you know, we could get into, you know, how you don't anticipate my needs, which is fine. Like, I don't need to talk about that right now. But
are we married?
it's common law pod marriage. Legal in Ohio.
After 3 years, you have to.
Yeah. But man, oh man, that's all those ads, autoplay videos, man. It's the way of the future. I hate it. What?
Shit. So the headline is Snoop Dogg developing HBO series about 1980s Reaganomics.
I mean, it's like an exposé about how it affected the disenfranchised, you know.
I don't know.
how it further put a wedge into our already disparate class system and propagated like income equality, or just in general about like stagflation. And
it's about the Cold War.
Okay.
And Reagan's politics and economics,
which I'd be interested in checking that out at the very least, because it's a subject I'm interested in. However, I feel bad for laughing just because one Snoop Lion is involved.
Well, he announced it at South By.
Oh yeah. Well, that's where you go. It's for the hip happening tech crew. It's for walking around the crowded Austin streets. It's for, yeah, you know, South by Southwest, which I think lasts 2 months now.
It is. It's like 6 weeks, I think.
Something like that. Like, I don't know. I hate to be an old man about this, but I remember South by Southwest being a place that people went to like, watch a band play. Yeah, but now you go you go there to do sick golf cart jumps off of a ramp by the Hilton into the lake.
Basically.
Yeah. I stayed in that Hilton once. It was nice.
Do the Johnny Knoxville face punching booth.
It's instead of a kissing booth, it's a tasing booth.
Right.
Okay, are you on PCP right now? No? Okay.
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. It was a pretty mixed bowl I reached into. It's Austin at South by Southwest. Keep it weird, yo. Yeah. I don't know. Chris, what episode is this?
Episode 167.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
You did it. Yay.
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Your name is?
Chris.
My name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses. Chris, throw a bottle at the bottle wall. You did it.
I'm out of bottles.
Oh, okay, cool. I've got one more.
100.
100 bottles. Oh, man. I'm kind of looking forward to not sharing a recycling bin with somebody anymore. A little bit, because even though I've really cranked back my drinking in recent years, I still feel that people are judging my output. Oh well, and it's one of those small indignities, but it is one that is quite felt. Like a Muppet, it is quite felt.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. I keep getting hit with these headlines.
Chris, you can do like I do and look away from the screen when you talk.
But it's hard.
I understand. You've got like a 30-inch television as a screen.
32.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Rockefeller. Look at me! Chris, it's a 32-inch class.
Oh, it's 31.2.
Okay, yeah. See, that's where they get you. They take those extra pixels and they shunt them into illegal black ops.
Yeah, I can see every pixel.
Yeah.
Yep.
I keep a count. I keep a count on how many pixels I've got in play.
The headline reads, "Artist Anal Carnies Hope You'll Pay for Their 38 Dream Weddings Around the World." Artist Anal Carnies.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised that didn't happen sooner. I think that there's a certain allure to the to the life of a carny that would really pick up on kind of the I guess the crust punks is not the way to put it, but the nouveau poor, like people who are kind of shirking the societal expectation that they take a job and settle down in one place. You know, if you're living catch as catch can and you're not turned off by the idea of sleeping underneath the frying machine, then I can totally see how somebody would want to not just adopt the carny lifestyle, but appropriate it and bring a little bit of their own Portland charm to it.
Portland charm.
Yeah, they got all the food trucks there anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Best damn breakfast burrito I ever ate was at a Portland food truck. It was one of like three I've ever eaten before.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Two of the other two I made myself. So
in a food truck?
No, not in a food truck. I ate a burrito from a food truck.
Oh, it was a burrito. It was on a pita.
It was a breakfast pita. It was a sliced lamb. He had a little bit of soup. Chris, it was just a gyro. It wasn't a breakfast gyro.
It was a breakfast gyro.
I just ate it at 9:30. It was the same gyro. I just looked at an egg while I ate it. Yeah. I don't know. And then they started bringing food trucks into work, but the problem is they only ever have one person working them. So it's a 45-minute wait to get my street burger, which is very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is just Colby, an old man, and complaining at this point.
Stop.
Hammer time.
Redirect and listen.
Yeah.
Cole.
Oh, okay.
You go.
No, you go. I was actually going to ask you.
No, Cole, you talk. Ask.
Oh, Chris. Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
I do.
Okay.
I was trying to, and then you wanted to ask me questions.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you a question about a story that you might, you know,
all right,
deign to present me with. So,
Belgian Foreign Minister Didier Reynders was gleefully posting pictures of himself in blackface on his blog earlier this week to honor a traditional Belgian parade dating back to 1876. The Norrods Festival is supposed to honor blacks by dressing up as African nobles.
Okay.
Yeah. Belgian kings, diplomats, dignitaries, etc. Yeah, they put blackface on and put on white top hats and parade through the streets.
Okay.
To honor black people. Yeah.
So people in Belgium who've probably encountered maybe three or four of them in their life.
No, this is more about history.
Right. Apparently it's about heritage, not hate.
Apparently Belgian people brutally exploited and committed horrible atrocities and violence during their colonialist reign of the Congo.
Yeah, throw a map at a throw a map at a dart. Throw a dart at a map of Europe and you're going to find somebody who is responsible for some kind of colonial atrocity.
Throw a Sharpie at a map of the Middle East. Oh wait, ooh, we did that.
Yeah. And look what's happening now, guys. Hey, good on ya.
Oh, way to go.
Good.
You know what's good for dissecting culture? A ruler.
You know, so you can draw a line and say, hey, like, maybe we should totally just, like, just everybody fucking chill. treat it like an apartment in a Lucy skit. Like, ugh. I get very sad thinking about that. But, So Belgian Congo, one of the most horrific places when it was still a thing, and now I think did Belgian Congo become the DNRC, the democratic something of Congo, like the, which is actually the horrible one with the dictators and such, because there are two Congos now. No, there are three. There's the horrible dictator one. There's the one that's still kind of in the heart of Africa and, you know, dealing with all the issues that come with that. And then there's the one that's filled with all the hyper intelligent apes, where they filmed that documentary in the mid-90s that Michael Crichton directed.
Maybe. I thought that's what they called that potato chip that looked like a penis.
No, those are dongos.
Mm, yeah. Not a dictator.
When I was playing Halo with my group of friends in high school, where there was one guy who had a game name, a username that he used that I was just incredibly jealous of because it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. Dictator Tot. Just let it land. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm not, you know, I don't have screen names or gamer names.
You never had a handle?
No, I've never had a call sign. Never owned a CB radio.
Actually, I still remember your AOL username, but I won't say it out of respect for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Off the air, you'll have to share it with me because I don't remember.
I'll put it into the chat robot for you here.
Bloop. Yep. No, it doesn't make that noise anymore.
Didn't know you. Yeah, I didn't hear the bloop, and so I had to put one in myself. Yeah, with mouth noises.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so there you go. That was your AOL username.
Cool.
Yeah.
If anyone guesses it, I'll give you $1.
I mean, there's a good chance people will remember it, maybe.
From a new country I created.
from the sovereign state of Rosetonia.
How's about 500,000 now and 500,000 when we finish?
That's the second Better Call Saul reference. I haven't seen the most recent episode, so I'm going to have to ask you have you seen it?
Oh, it's moving so slow.
That's fine. I'm fine with a little bit of slow pacing. Like the 5-0.
It's so slow that the show's got to last like 20 years to catch up to where BB left off, yeah, or well, started.
Yeah, picked up. You know, I'm fine with it. I think it's really...
I don't know. No, it's a good show.
I like it a lot. It's a
TV.
Television. any other TV hits you just want to like get out of the way here? Your Kimmy Schmitz and whatnot?
Unbreakable.
Yeah. I like that show. It's cute.
Yeah, it is. It's cute. It's not edgy.
No, it is decidedly not edgy, except for that wonderful line at the beginning. Everybody asked this, so I'll just get it out of the way. Yes, there was weird sex stuff in the bunker. I just love how it can just get dark out of nowhere and just be incredibly dark, but then go right back to being a fucking Disney sitcom.
Basically.
Yeah.
But there's hints of like classic comedians in there too.
Yeah.
Cosby did invent the mystery crank.
Oh man.
Unbreakable.
I'm going to tell you about a creepy town in Japan, Chris, while we're talking about weird sex stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah. You were. Shut up, you are.
We're looking at this here. It's a town called Nagoro. More accurately, it is a village in southern Japan Chris, scarecrows outnumber actual people by about 3-1.
Okay.
And it's all thanks to one woman. Tsukimi Ayano.
Yeah, we did this already.
Did we?
Yeah, no, the town that's got like people in it. Like the town was abandoned for some reason, and then she just started making people, and they're all staged in like schoolhouses and stuff.
Yeah, I have no recollection of us doing this story.
Yeah, we did this.
Oh, damn it. We fucking scooped ourselves.
Weird Asian news corner.
Yeah, I suppose that, you know, we're eventually going to start retreading the same ground. But I just love how surreal that imagery is.
It's because I think we compared it to I Am Legend.
But I was going to go on a whole bit about how she because the scarecrows outnumber the people. Eventually, she was predicting the people who would be born into the town or would move into the town. So whenever eventually there is a ceremony where you are exposed to your scare doppelganger, you know. And then I was going
to scare doppelganger.
Yeah, you know, it is the scarecrow that was made after you without her ever actually seeing you. It was her predicting your arrival. It was her predicting the coming of you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. And on the scarecrow.
On the scarecrow, be wed.
Ooh, let's see here. I'm going to go to PornMD and I'm going to type in scarecrow porn and see what comes up.
Probably something with Batman.
There's a video called Scarecrow Fuck. And then there's another video. Ooh, teen pissing porn. That looks horrible. Oh man, I didn't do this in my porn browser, Chris. This is terrible.
You have a porn browser?
Well, it's not a porn. It's not a browser made specifically for porn, but it is a browser that that otherwise would be used for other stuff that that I use specifically for those things that I'm not proud of.
Night of the Scarecrow.
Yes, I see that, and I've seen I've seen plenty of like, oh, this is a horror movie that just has that has a lot of TNA in it. Like the witches of Breastwick.
Nailed in the barn by a guy dressed as Scarecrow.
Oh man, I don't see that at all.
Wurzel Gummidge Gilf loves the topless beach.
Man, this is depressing me. Yeah.
Trending searches.
I am not going to click the one that says Scarecrow fuck, because I think that that's like a ring situation. I think that I'm going to wake up and all the pillows in my house will be filled with straw. It's going to be a message left to me by the scarecrow woman of Nagano Village. No, not Nagano is where they held the Olympics, Cole. Nagoro Village. Oh, wow.
There, on the live search, there's a search called Worker Swarm. That is a swarm is not a word that I would associate with pornography.
No,
but it's used a lot.
I mean, I'm sure somebody has a bee fetish.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Hmm.
It's like there's like this blindfolded Asian woman who has like 19 dildos swarming her.
Oh man.
Or no, personal massagers. Sorry.
Yeah, a marital aid.
Right.
Yeah. There's a. There's a website that I found, and just while I was talking with the guys from The Level a while back, it is called all-sorts.org. And what it is a site that uses algorithms and kind of like dictionary reference and things like that, and also some user submitted things in order to come up with the collective nouns for as many things as possible. So collective nouns, you know, that are like a murder of crows, a gaggle of geese. Like, what is like what is the word to refer to like a shitload of these guys,
right?
Or a shitload of these things, right? So for podcasters, it is a bedroom of podcasters.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You've got a let's see here, a hood of bros, a Schindler of lists. A cathedral of redwoods, a Punxsutawney of fills. let's see here, a block of writers, a winter of discount tents. So that is a fun service that only I find interesting because, you know, I'm just the worst. So I gave us a story that that you already used, or we already used, or something like that. That's my bad. Can you pull us out of this?
I can. I was trying to make an argument about you being the worst. I can't. I was trying to make you feel better, but I do not have the will tonight.
That's fine.
Yeah. Here we go. Researchers from the University of Michigan Sleep and Circadian Research Laboratory tracked 171 college-aged women over 14 days and found that those who got more sleep had more and better sex. With every extra hour of sleep raising the likelihood of having sex the next day by 14%.
Holy shit, that's a leap, isn't it?
Yeah. The intersection of sleep and sexual functioning has largely been overlooked since a few studies in the 60s. This research was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. They say more sleep boosted desire, factors that, you know, changed moods. And that it may be the magical fix if you're, you know, not feeling the need.
So, the need
for the deed.
Yep, there we go. I was waiting to see if you're going to come up with a rhyme, and you did. Good on you. Can you throw a bottle at your bottle wall?
No, I told you I'm out of bottles.
Damn it, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not made of bottles.
You knew we were recording. You should have stocked up.
Like a scarecrow.
I guess that would be a very effective scarecrow.
Like the helpful recycling scarecrow.
he's got a wizard staff made out of beer cans. Yeah. I was telling people about the wizard staff's drinking game, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
A what?
Wizard staff's drinking game.
I don't know what that is.
It's not even really a drinking game. It's if you're drinking canned beer with a bunch of people, every can you take some tape and you tape it on top of the last one until at the end of the night you have a wizard staff made of all the beers you drank.
I've never heard of that.
It's wizard staffs. You cast spells. It's pretty great.
I'm playing D and me. Don't you mean D&D? No.
Nope. No, nobody wants to do anything with me. That's weird.
You're watching McGee and me? No. I'm playing D and me.
Yeah. Well, I love that. It's like a little cartoon. It's the best friend a boy could have. You know, it's teaching you about not breaking into that old man's broken down house, you know, with that rock song about listening to your parents that plays as those kids shake the pigeon cages.
Are we talking about The Sandlot?
Yeah, Chris, I think we're talking about any number of entertainments from the late 80s to early 90s.
Little Giants?
Yeah, the Little Giants. Here, take this football, put it in the bathroom, take this toilet paper. And that's what we're going to throw from now on.
Rick Moranis spliff.
Rick Moranis. And who was the other guy? Who was the bad coach? Was that a Belushi?
I don't know. I thought of my horse name, though.
Well, like a name for a horse?
Yeah.
A name for horse.
A name for a horse. My horse. When I get a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Ney-Lewis.
That's a pretty good one. That's a great horse name. Which is better than mine, which was just going to be Jim Neighbors. Yeah.
Quick you are.
Yeah. So, no, the bad guy was Ed O'Neill. It was one Ed O'Neill.
Oh, it was. You're right.
Yeah.
No, that was right around Dutch time.
Mm. Yeah. That was the old Mary with Children train was coming to a close.
Coming round the bend.
He's a good actor. I like him. I like me and Ed O'Neill.
He's on Modern Family now.
Yeah, but that's coming to an end, right?
I've never seen it.
Neither have I. I know he's on that show.
I'm not gonna miss it.
Well, I'm not. I mean, at this point, it'd be crazy to take the plunge on that. Let me see here. Married with Children ran for 10 years, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
259 episodes.
Wow.
How long did MASH run? Give me a line.
I don't know. Like 8 or 9 years, probably.
Mm. Cheers. What was it? 14?
I think it was 11.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I just want to check your knowledge here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Kelsey Grammer. He played Frasier for longer than any other character. Any other actor has played any other character. Is that the is that the thing?
Yeah, he was Bob Barker for longer than Bob Barker was.
And then, you know, John Ratzenberger, he's just hiding out at the vents in Pixar, right?
Yeah, or telling you how stuff's made.
Yeah. I in so many situations I'm the Cliff. Like I want to think that I'm the Sam or the Woody, but I'm the Cliff.
He did a travel show too, long short trips with Cliff.
What? Really?
No.
Okay. Sorry, like I didn't want to like look it up and see. Like I'd rather suspend the fiction, but if you're just going to say no and not yes and me, then that's fine.
Yeah. Yes and?
yes and Cliff. Cliff Clavin.
Mm. Yeah, that's him.
Cliff Blavin. Let's see here. Chris, there are a lot of reasons we shake hands to determine if, you know, the person that we are coming up against is a worthy foe. Are they a man? How's their grip, right? To take our pinky and just kind of like gently insert it into the middle of the handshake and tickle their palm as a power play.
Increase immunity.
Yeah, to look into their eyes, you know, to pass it around. Yeah. But Chris, here's the other thing. 22% of the time after we shake hands, we take our hand and we put it to our nose and smell. And we don't even know it.
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, this is a study from the, from some kind of university. I forget. Let me look this up really quick. Israeli researchers.
Well, from some kind of university.
Yep, from some kind of university. So there's the prevailing theory is so we can, it's not like, hey, did you, how thorough are you wiping? But it's more because people's pheromonal and hormonal makeup can tell us a lot about are they stressed right now or are they going to be a good mate for us. But yeah, we are taking what they're slipping to us vis-a-vis hand oils, and we're just mainlining that right into our huff sticks.
I don't do that.
Yeah, we're putting that right up in our huff pose. Well, yeah. No, like who's to say if we filmed you 1 out of 5 times you would do it.
I wouldn't. I don't do that.
No, like, well, you're like John McCain. You can't raise your arms above your shoulders. That's fine. But what?
I took my sleeping pill too early.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man.
Chris, you got plans? Am I keeping you from something?
I just did. Huh? I don't know why I did it. I took my sleeping pill with 2 beers.
Chris, that's a terrible idea. We're trying to record a show.
Well, you demand bottles.
Do you need to go?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, what?
You might need to go.
I don't maybe.
Huh.
I don't maybe.
Huh. You're sounding like me.
Indecisiveness. Yet you look like you can make competent decisions.
Chris, that's my secret. That's how I'm still employed. Nobody actually like looks at my work. They just take it on faith that I'm doing it. Let's see here. Everyone was blown away when we showed them their own videos. It was universal. Nobody was aware of this behavior.
I don't do it.
Chris, I'm telling you, Israeli scientists are here to tell you you do.
Cole, I'm telling you that if I shake a stranger's hand, I do not even put my hand in my pocket until I sanitize.
I'm
super conscious. And I think you probably are too.
Oh no, like I'm a huge dick about it. Like when we post up and we do the booth at the Portland Retro Games Expo, like people look at me weird because I will shake their hand and then while I'm talking to them, without breaking eye contact, I will reach down and sanitize. And if they look at me askance, I will say, "I trust you, but I really don't want to get sick.
But I don't trust myself."
Right. I don't know where I'm going to put these fingers later.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm putting a donut somewhere.
Jesus. Yeah, so I'm telling you, 22%. Just post up with a GoPro, but put a GoPro on a selfie stick, put the selfie stick on a rig attached to some kind of belt or harness, and then just go around shaking people's hands all day. I will tell you, 20% of the time, you're doing it because you're trying to suss out chemo signals. You're trying to find somebody who's new to the pack. You are indulging your lizard brain.
Right.
Chris, there's the magic of human chemistry.
Who knew?
Yeah,
you do. Humans do crazy things.
Crazy human tricks, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a what, Johnny Carson bit?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, Cole, when Big Sandy Montana has a street fight, it has a street fight.
You know, Montana, it's big sky country. I think that they're not known for their half measures.
Residents in the farming town's commercial district watched Monday as a brawl broke out between three men in a car and two men and two women in a pickup truck.
Unrelated so
there
incidents?
There were three men in a car and four people in a pickup truck. It had a knife fight and at least one chainsaw wielding person.
What? This is a scene from Hot Fuzz, Chris.
One of the people in the pickup actually ended the fight by driving away in the car.
Okay.
Yeah. The level of chaos obviously wasn't enough for one of the pickup suspects because he reportedly went back to the truck, pulled out a chainsaw, and revved it up. He was swinging it around and everyone was scattering.
Don't as they would.
Don't bring a knife to a chainsaw fight.
That old proverb. I think that was Aristophanes.
Yeah. One of the people had a knife wound to the abdomen. All seven of the people were apprehended by police.
Do we have any idea what started the fight? Was it just was it a traffic altercation? Like, what happened?
No, there's no reason. Just because you're in Montana?
Yeah, nothing better to do. Gotta get ourselves a good knife fight happening.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you just say, we rev up a chainsaw.
So I'm ignorant of Montana. Like, it seems like it'd be a good place to like go and like look at a mountain, I guess. But
it's very rectangular.
Yeah, it's one of the we call it one of the square states. So the land of straight lines and straight people. You know, from the militias and all that.
You can drive really fast there too.
That's like Texas. You know, like I think the idea is as long as it's a straightaway, you can just floor it, like let it rip. But I'm trying to think of all the places in the world where you would have a chainsaw in your trunk, like a fighting chainsaw. Like that has to be balanced. You know, if you're just out there cutting logs, you're gonna have a completely different configuration on the chainsaw. So that guy knew what he was doing. I mean, if he's out there trying to do some kind of Mortal Kombat fatality, like there's got to be some prep that rolls into it.
There's sport fucking, and then there's sport fucking you up.
I that's funny. You're funny.
Yeah.
I like this show sometimes. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. So overall, can you remind me how many people were involved in this?
Seven
people,
including two women.
Yeah, and they grow them strong. It's hardy stock out there.
Or identify as women. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's
there's boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, it's the modern world.
Do you want to tell me a story?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. This one's from a little while ago, but we didn't cover it when it happened. So over there in London, we're heading from Montana to London, two places that couldn't have anything more in common. But they have National Book Day, which is something that happens, across the country, is celebrated in schools, and schools often celebrate this by encouraging their students to come in dressed up like their favorite book characters. Right. So amid your Harry Potters mm-hmm. and your Hermione Grangers and your King Narnias and whatnot, you had one. You know where I'm going.
Your Batemans, Patrick.
Pretty close. You're actually pretty close on the money. Your Christian Greys. So, Chris, I know I forget who he last gave the award to for the coolest kid ever. But this kid, Liam Scholes, an 11-year-old British school child, for World Book Day, came in dressed up as the antagonist. I can never tell. He seemed to do an awful lot of inflict an awful lot of pain on that poor woman. But there was a contract involved, but she didn't sign it. I don't know. I've never read the book.
She liked it.
I know at one point he, this is just a gross detail that like secured the fact that I would never even read the anything more than an excerpt of the book. But at one point, I think he has sex with her while she's on her period, and then forces her to clean him up with her mouth.
Hmm.
You know, because apparently that's a thing that middle-aged women around the world just kind of masturbate too with their Kindles.
Dear God.
And there was another thing. I know that we're kicking 50 Shades of Grey, which is, not a very a popular opinion. I know. It's not an easy place to score comedy points. There was a copy of 50 Shades of Grey that tested positive for chlamydia or herpes or something like that at a public library. So there's that. But this kid, this fucking hero, this Liam Scholes, came dressed up, complete with a gray suit, cable ties, and an eye mask.
Are they Velcro?
I don't know. I think it might have been zip ties. I see a picture of this kid. I think they're zip ties. I can't tell.
But if I'm correct, the kid never actually read the book.
Right, he didn't. He was just being a provocateur. Again, this is a fucking cool kid. His mom, who was also a teacher, said, I think it's a big overreaction. He's just trying to have a laugh. He's almost 12. He's a bit of a character. He's not shy. Everybody liked it. Everyone thought it was funny, and they took it for what it was meant to be. So, you know. He was sent home from school to change his clothes for making a scene. You know, although that is so again, this kid's a hero. Remember when I was like in third grade for Halloween, I went dressed up as Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
I know I made the costume.
Yeah,
because mom was
mom couldn't be bothered.
Free base jumping at the time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why.
It was a lot of towels and washcloths, I think.
Yeah, it was a blue towel.
Yeah. But I was Sub-Zero at age 9. Chris, that game was rated mature, so I shouldn't have been able to play that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was rated MA. It wasn't mature at the time. It was for mature audiences. Chris, give me a story.
Cool. I don't have a story.
You don't?
No. I don't. The story that I had, it didn't turn out to be what I thought it was going to be.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's draw this one to a close. I've got one final story, but this is all more right. Go ahead.
I said, all right.
Yeah. So this is not so much a story, but it is a blanket warning for any of our friends who live in the South, anybody who lives in a swampy kind of climate. Chris, gator mating season is starting early.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So like a bunch of people are finding, gators just kind of fucking in their pools. Yeah. They're just like getting randy because they're not afraid of people.
Pools are disgusting.
Yeah. Chris, who knows? Who knows what's been fucking in that pool?
I do, but I'm not telling.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Okay, they cannot take sleeping pills and drink while they're recording a podcast.
I didn't drink.
I know. So anyway, I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking a nice Christian Moorline. But I didn't introduce sleeping pills into the equation.
I take one every night. My vitamin Z.
Keeps you regular. By which I mean your sleep schedule and all.
Right, right.
Yeah, but everybody knows the usual stuff. We really appreciate everybody listening. If you're not subscribed, we recommend you subscribe because that helps us out. Also, the ratings and reviews on iTunes and the Facebook, all of this can be found at duckfeed.tv along with the other shows on the network. Let's make this a brief one.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, America.
Sorry.